The following transcription was made in the spring of 1967 by Professor Hosley of the University of Alaska, and the subject is Prehistory of Alaska.
Once in Alaska, what were they faced with? Now, if we lowered the temperature to the point where there was a leverage, we have simultaneously a great immense glacier stretching across the northern part of North America. So then if we have the land bridge so that the earliest people can move into Alaska, we have also a block of ice which does not permit migration down into the heartland of North America, the plains. We have two major ice sheets in North America. One was set on the coastal belt and moved the coastal belt and the Rockies, and the other was centered on the area of about where Hudson Bay. At times, there was a free corridor between the two. So you had two ice masses, one in the west and the east, and an ice-free passage east of the Rockies, down the plains of Canada and the U.S. And at other times, particularly when the land bridge was in existence, this corridor was blocked. So this meant that at times, people, ancestral Indians, could come into Alaska, but could go no further. And at other times, they could go from Alaska south, but the land bridge was gone. But there were about three periods of time when both the land bridge and the ice-free corridor existed simultaneously. And it was these that interested us the most. We have a number of what we call traditions in archaeology in North America. Most of this is fairly recent work. The earliest movement of man into the New World is evidenced by a few traces here and there. A few isolated sites in the Brooks Range, isolated finds in the plains, California, South America, Central America. The evidence that this is what we call the British Mountain tradition after a locale near the Firth River just across the Canadian border on the Arctic. This British Mountain tradition is the earliest known for the Arctic and subarctic of North America. It is dated at roughly 35,000 to 30,000 BC. The numbers of people involved were obviously small because the finds are fairly few. Their weapons and tools were quite crude, simple. They lacked the bow and arrow, which has not been invented yet anywhere at this time. They were armed only with wooden spears with sharpened wooden tips and occasionally a sharp bone point. But no spear points of flint or shirt or other rock. They did not have the dog. They doubtless knew how to make fire, or at least how to keep it going. Had skin clothing, a crude, simple religion, could make crude shelters, but this is all. These people crossed the land bridge at a time when the corridor was open and moved down into the heartland of the United States and Central America. Shortly after they came in, the ice-free corridor closed, temperatures dropped, and they were blocked off from returning north. Thus, they remained for some 20,000 years alone. Their culture did not develop very far. They never did develop the stone-tipped spear, and the numbers from what finds we find were always quite small. They did not make a major impression upon the game, the immense herds of animals, large bison, mastodon, mammoth, that frequented the North and South America south of the ice. About 14,000 years ago, we again had the situation where the ice-free corridor east of the Rockies, They were hunters of large game, We have traces of this old corridor in addition with like the But apparently these people did not dally in Alaska but went on. ice closed the gap again. Old Cortlaren people absorbed the predecessors of the Cortlaren, and they developed a series of very colorful elements. And they developed the healing of the king to quite an art, depending again on the sphere. Cooperating in large numbers of men to drive herds of animals off cliffs into gullies, and we find their boneyards yet. In one case, it was reported recently, several hundred bison stampeded into a gully, with only the top of the skeleton dismembered as if they had been closing the on the outside, scattered throughout the projectile points, with all the animals facing the same direction indicating the outer of the old Cortlaren man and his descendants, we feel, probably had a great deal to do with the extinction of the horse in North America, which was one day the elimination of the mammoth, had a large extinction variety of bison, which are modern bison, quite small in comparison. But again, they remain isolated for quite some time, until about 7,000 BC. When the ice began to retreat from the last this ice-free corridor opened up, the game animals, particularly the bison, began to move north into the area of Montana and then southwestern Canada onto the great plains as we now know them. And we had, in a sense, a reverse migration of these early Paleo-Indians, Folsom hunters, the old Cortlaren people, to the point where we eventually find their remains, along with those of bison, in the vicinity of the mouth of the Kent, along with this group. We find at about the same time, 7,000 BC, the appearance of some of these points in Alaska. So the migration wasn't always from Alaska south. No, the Grand Alaska was the bridge over which all men microblades would be inserted in series in a groove on a bone. So have, in effect, a long cutting edge. It's made up of several different pieces of this small, sharp flint. It's a very useful device in many ways. Of course, it made the utilization of the raw material more efficient. And this and related tools lasted a long time. Another tool was something we call a burin, which is simply a very small stone chisel, again, for working ivory or bone, for instance, for grooving out or incising out a bone needle. You need something like a chisel to groove the bone in two parallel lines until you carve out the needle. Traces of this microblade tradition have been found at Anangula, the very tip of the Alaska Peninsula, where the islands begin, dated 6500 BC. At the opposite end, they've been found on the Kobuk River at Onion Portage, dated 6500 BC. Were these people Eskimo Indians? We find them on the coast, in the Aleutians, in the interior, Alaska, and in Western Canada. They were neither, and they were both. They were the ancestors of both the Eskimo and the Indians of Alaska. Let me disagree with this. Eskimos and Indians, to most people, are quite different, both culturally and physically. When I say that they were this people carrying this microblade culture, were the ancestors of the Indian, I mean only in part. Because remember, we still have this continuing migration of people and ideas. But they were a cultural ancestor and to a certain extent genetic ancestors of both cultures. On the continent that they split apart becomes a difference. Now, these microblade people were hunters and fishers and gatherers. These microblade people did not move on down into the heart of North America as had those who had preceded them, because by now North America is pretty well populated. In fact, the Indians are coming back up and inhabiting Western Canada, bringing new types of tourism. Plus, the climate is better in Alaska and Canada by this time, and man has more in the way of cultural equipment to enable him to survive. For about 3,000 years, this culture endured. And things began to change. They began to see a divergence between the coastal people and those in the area. And about 3,500 BC, on the coast of Alaska, we have developed out of this Northwest microblade culture a new tradition which begins to point toward the Eskimos of later times. This new coastal tradition is called the Arctic Small Tool tradition. Arctic Small Tool is very clearly a continuation of that which was went before, the microblades, tiny cores in which they came, the urines, the airports. All of these are much the same. But we have something else added. At the very beginning of this small tool. And this is harpoon. Made of bone, sometimes ivory, sometimes ivory. This culture first appeared along the most hospitable part of the Alaskan coast, that area between Norton Sound and Bristol Bay, an area that the climate is fairly moderate in, an area where sea mammals, seals, walrus, are and have been quite prolific. Apparently, the richness of the area and the hospitable nature of the climate led to an increasing emphasis or focus upon the hunting of sea mammals. And this led to the development of harpoons and other implements for the hunting of this food. Shortly afterward, about 3000 BC, this culture became so complex and so rich that the people began to expand in numbers. They moved north along the Bering Sea coast, past Point Hope, the Barrel, and then they moved east. All of this we traced by their campsites. They moved across the Canadian Arctic, the first human beings ever to enter the area, and they reached Greenland by 2000. They find their houses. against the mountain with first year Tracy's on Eskimo, and probably they were somewhat Eskimo-like in appearance. In the interior, the North Lake microblade tradition continued until about 1,000 BC. Remaining hunters and fishers in the interior forests were the coastal people, hunter dwellers. And eventually, this Northwest microblade tradition gave rise, again with the addition of new people from the Asian Asia, to the ancestors of our own people. That is, the ancestors. About 1,000 BC on the coast, we have the rise of the last coastal coast out of its divergence from the common base, for this we call the Eskimo tradition. Defined for the first time 3,500 years ago. At the moon, which requires better harpoons, larger boats, they were hunting whales about 1800 BC. And by 1000 BC, we have Eskimo culture fully blown in all its details and continues down to the present. This too originated in the Bering Strait region, became very rich, again with new ideas and new people coming out from Asia, including small amounts of iron, Dalkin.
Thank you.
Leave it. I'll take it. And I recommend you to your lots of tribes.